everybody. Welcome back to Disney Inside Out. I'm your host, Ryan, and today we are taking a trip to Paris. Is there anything better than visiting a Disney park that's new to you? Today, Disneyland Paris expert and social media guru Megan from Megan Loves Magic joins us to give her top tips for rides, snacks, and more. Disneyland Paris offers some magic you won't find anywhere else. Take a listen and find out. Hi, Megan. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I feel really honored to have been asked. You've had so many of my heroes on this podcast already, so it's so nice to have been asked. Thank you.
I'm so excited to have a Disneyland Paris expert on because it's a place I've never been. I'm so used to going to Disney World, even, you know, sometimes Disneyland, but to go to other Disney parks, I think is such a different experience. So I'm so excited to have you on and sort of talk about that and sort of talk about what you do on social media, helping other people visit the parks and things you do. So we'll talk about all of that. So I wanted to sort of dive right into Disneyland Paris, and I thought we could do must-do list for if it's like a first time. What would you say would be a must-do for like a thrill ride?
Okay, so I have a couple of thrill rides here that I think you will love as a first-timer. So we've got Big Thunder Mountain. I know you guys have that in Walt Disney World, and I've been on the Disneyland version, but a lot of people have said to me that Paris has the best Big Thunder Mountain.
Really?
I can only compare it to Disneyland, and I can say I do think Paris is slightly better than Disneyland's. But yeah, that's a really, really good one. We've got Hyperspace Mountain, and I think it is the most thrilling, I would say, out of all of the Space Mountains because it has inversions and it goes upside down. I feel like it's only kind of similar to the Disneyland and Walt Disney World ones by name. It's a totally different ride, but I must say it's my favorite one across all of Disneyland Paris. And then we also have Crush's Coaster, which is kind of like a Finding Nemo inspired coaster, but it's a bit deceptive from the outside. I know a lot of people go on that not knowing what it is, but it's just a spinning coaster, lots of fun, and it's actually the only ride that Disneyland Paris has at the moment that is completely unique to Disneyland Paris. We love that. Hopefully in the near future we'll be getting some more rides that, you know, will entice people to come over to our lovely park, but I would highly recommend Crush's Coaster for any thrill seeker.
Yeah, I was just thinking like, okay, Big Thunder I've done. I mean, I love Space Mountain and Disney World and Disneyland. That's probably one of my top. So I would definitely want to see Hyperspace Mountain, but Crush's Coaster, yeah, totally unique thrill ride. You mentioned Big Thunder Mountain being different. What are the differences, if you remember?
So Big Thunder Mountain in Paris is actually out on an island. It's in the middle of our a lake in Frontierland. And so when you get into the train, you actually go straight underground.
Oh.
First, and it's quite a long, dark tunnel, like, and it goes really, really fast. Yeah. That's what I would say would really, like, apart from the, you know, being out on the, like, on the river kind of thing, that the speed, I would say, of Big Thunder Mountain is so much faster at Paris than it is at Disneyland. And they have, like, all these effects, you know, as you're going up, doing like a slow ascent up the mountain,
right.
Smoke effects, sometimes they have water effects on, and it's really impressive. It's like a really, really good piece of Imagineering. I absolutely love it. It's like more like a family coaster, I think, compared to some of the other ones, because it doesn't go upside down. It's just fast. It doesn't have any inversions or anything. So if you've got kids with you who are kind of getting to that age of wanting to go on their first coaster, that's the one I would always recommend to families.
I'm assuming the theming is probably still the same, like the mining town sort of theme. Yeah.
It's actually cool. Our Big Thunder Mountain actually has a story that kind of links in a little bit to the story of our haunted mansion, Phantom Manor.
Oh, right. Yes.
So the story, it's more so that the story of Phantom Manor kind of addresses Big Thunder Mountain in it. So it's all kind of set as like an old Western town.
Yeah.
And the Imagineers have done a wonderful job of just linking that whole land together. It's really, really cool. And like for nerds like me, all the little storyline links just tick all the boxes.
I love storylines and I love that they're connected there. So you mentioned Phantom Manor. I don't know if this will come up in the list, but what about like slow dark rides that are not or thrill? What are some top choices that we should hit up?
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Okay.
I really, really enjoy it in Paris. It's quite a bit longer, I think, than the Disneyland one. That was something that I really noticed, that it's a longer ride. It's got more scenes. The drops, it has three drops, but they're not, I wouldn't say they're as steep as the one in Disneyland.
Okay.
It's a really, really fun ride. And for some reason, the wait times are generally really low. It's quite a high capacity ride in Paris. So like, it's an easy one if you're kind of wandering around with, you know, not really sure what to do, and you don't want to stand in a big long line. Pirates is usually a safe bet.
Yeah.
Other ones that we have I really like our teacups. They're a bit different to the Disneyland ones, where ours are kind of like covered up, but they're right in the center of Fantasyland, and they're just really beautiful. You find that a lot with Disneyland Paris. The aesthetics are incredible. The attention to detail, everything is just stunning, especially Fantasyland. You just feel like you've walked into, you know, the little village in Beauty and the Beast.
Yes, yeah.
That's the kind of vibe that Disneyland Paris Fantasyland gives me. And
okay.
Yeah, it just makes me so happy. And they have all the, you know, the music from Alice in Wonderland piping around that whole area. Yeah. And you just kind of feel like you're in the movie and like having a bit of an unbirthday. It's great. Phantom Manor's good. Now, we've spoke about that one. Sadly, I haven't actually been on the Disneyland version of Haunted Mansion. I've only done Haunted Mansion Holiday.
Okay, with Jack Skellington.
Jack Skellington. So that's high on my list of something I really want to do in the future, is come back and ride your Haunted Mansion. But Phantom Manor is just, it's so popular. It's mm-hmm. There's a lot of hardcore Phantom Manor fans in Europe. I think it is as well partly to do with like the storyline that I was talking about mm-hmm. Melanie Ravenswood being a jilted bride, and her father, didn't he bump off her potential suitor. There's a real storyline all the way through it, and it's just a lot of fun. We have a lot of things that you have in Disneyland too. We've got, you know, the singing busts and things mm-hmm. like that. They do play into it, but I think that there is enough different between the two to make it a real attraction for people coming from like the likes of the US, or from maybe from the Asian parks, where theirs is totally different as well. It's just a nice little quirk that Disneyland Paris has.
Like, that's one thing I would do when I visit all the different parks, is do their version of the Haunted Mansion, because I know they all have them. And I love that the Phantom Manor has such a sort of specific story. In Disney World and Disneyland, there is a story in Haunted Mansion about, you know, the bride killing the husband but it's not like Disney has never confirmed what the actual story is. Mm. And I know we're getting another movie coming out, which I'm super excited to see, but they've yet to be like, this is actually what the story of the Haunted Mansion is. So I like that Phantom Manor has that, and ours is a little more vague and not quite specific. But all right, so Phantom Manor, any other slow or dark rides?
We have this one in Walt Disney Studios. I think they have it in Disneyland. I've seen it as well. It's the, you know, like, it's like, is it Luigi's Rollicking Roadsters? That one that goes round and round. It's one that I always kind of recommend to families as well. Yeah. It's so much fun. It's quite, I don't want to say violent. That's maybe not the word. Right. But like, you definitely come off it a wee bit woozy.
Yes.
We also have, I'm trying to think of ones that would be of particular interest to people who haven't been to Disneyland Paris.
Before. Now, you mentioned the Walt Disney Studios. So Disneyland Paris, can you just briefly, we'll interject, there's two parks, right?
Two parks. Yep. We have the Disneyland Park, which is our castle park, which has, you know, the five lands. We've got Main Street, we've got Adventureland, Frontierland, Fantasyland, and Discoveryland rather than Tomorrowland.
Okay.
And then over at Walt Disney Studios, is where we have our Avengers Campus. The closest I could kind of compare it to is maybe like Hollywood Studios.
Yeah.
Maybe in Walt Disney World, we have like a little Toy Story land. We've Worlds mm-hmm. of Pixar, and then a Ratatouille land at the back. And then we're also getting a Frozen land that's being built at the moment.
Right.
I think it's going to look quite like the one in Hong Kong. I think it seems to be quite a... typically for Disneyland Paris, a copy and paste of somewhere else.
Right.
But it looks really exciting. They seem to be making like really good headway on that, so I'm really looking forward to seeing what that looks like when it's done. And there is a third land as well, and a third new land coming to Walt Disney Studios very shortly after the Frozen one, but we don't know what the theme is.
Okay.
It was originally to be like almost a mini Galaxy's Edge.
Right.
And I'd heard we'd be getting Smuggler's Run and kind of a bit of the whole Batuu thing. but right. They've since come out and said that they've changed their minds. There's a few things and like rumors going around of what they could be, but absolutely nothing has been confirmed as yet.
Do you think it could be villains? I would love villains.
I want villains. I would love villains. That would be, I'd love a whole villains park. I think that's something they could eventually run with somewhere. There's so much potential there.
Yes.
The rumors that I had heard was the one was possibly a Pandora style avatar. Okay.
Makes sense.
And the other one that's been really, really doing the rounds over the last couple of weeks is The Lion King.
Oh, interesting.
Which I thought was interesting because it doesn't really fit in that park, but The Lion King is huge in Disneyland Paris. They love The Lion King. We have The Lion King season. They have merch. They've got a huge production and everything.
Yeah.
Like, it wouldn't surprise me if they went with The Lion King. Just due
do, you think it, do you think it would be... It would be kind of like Animal Kingdom, how Disney World has Animal Kingdom. Because Animal Kingdom, while it's not Lion King land, it is very like heavy Lion King, of course.
I would love something like that. I'd be more keen for that than a copy and paste Pandora.
Yeah.
I'm just very passionate. So that's something I'm just very passionate about, is that Disneyland Paris seems to get a copy and paste of other park stuff.
Right,
it's very rare that we would get something that is unique to Disneyland Paris, which is a real shame because... As fans, we're always trying to entice people to come over and visit our park. And when we're trying to like explain the things that we have, they're like, yeah, but I could just go to Walt Disney World for that, or I could just go to Disneyland. And we're kind of like,
okay, yes. I guess so, but it's but if you're in Paris, I would still do it. I don't care. It's funny you mentioned too about Walt Disney Studios Park, like feeling like things show up there that don't necessarily belong, because I feel like over here we do feel the same way about Hollywood Studios, where it's becoming this like catch-all place to be like, we want to put this in. Let's put it in Hollywood Studios. Like it's just sort of becoming.
We want this. We don't really know where it goes. Chuck it into Hollywood Studios.
Like, right.
That's very much the vibe in Walt Disney Studios in Paris, but. Our Avengers campus has gone down very, very well, though, I must say that. I haven't personally seen it yet, because I've been over gallivanting on your side of the world at Disneyland. Yeah. But it seems to have been really, really well received. I'm telling a lie, I've lied to you, that we do have one other ride that is unique to Disneyland Paris, kind of, and that is the new Iron Man Avengers Light Force ride that has just opened. It's a re-theme of our old Rock and Roller Coaster.
Right, I forgot about that. Yeah,
I forgot about that because it once was Rock and Roller Coaster. It hasn't really clicked to me yet that we have a new ride, but that looks really fun. That's something I'm really, really looking forward to checking out next time I go.
Let's move into food. Everybody loves food. So, are there unique snacks or top snacks you would recommend when you're in Disneyland Paris? Things that, you know, obviously we go for things you can't get at the other parks, but maybe it's something you can get at the other park, but it's better in Disneyland Paris. Any favorites or top choices?
Yeah, Disneyland Paris tends to get a really bad rap for food, which is deserved, I think. You know, compared to other parks around the world, our food mostly is not as good, but they are really stepping up their game since the start of the 30th anniversary. They really have made an effort to put more unique snacks into the parks and to improve their offerings and be more inclusive for people who have dietary requirements, vegetarians and vegans as well. My snacks that I tend to go for are the Minnie Mouse Cake Pops. These are they're just magical. And they're like giant lollipop, sort of oval lollipops, but they're all like, the one I really like is like strawberry cake filling.
Oh yeah.
Like birthday cake filling with icing and white chocolate. All around it, it's the biggest sugar high followed by sugar crash that you will ever eat. But they are that's my all-time favorite Disneyland Paris snack. And we also do Mickey waffles, but interestingly, they are not the same Mickey waffles that you get in America. The ones that they do in Paris are kind of, you know, freshly made in front of you, but they're more like a fluffy pancake texture,
rather than
the ones. All the ones that I had over in the States, so I was really surprised that they were just a totally different thing.
Right.
But they absolutely cover them in like Nutella. Do you have Nutellas in the States, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
They soak them in Nutella and castor sugar and everything. It's another really, really sugary one.
Yeah.
But if I was like I recommend them to anybody that I know visiting the parks for the first time, because they're a real, they're a staple. Anything Mickey shaped is a real staple food when you're at Disneyland, isn't it?
Yes, totally. I always say, like, get a Mickey pretzel. That's what I tell people all the time. I'm like, you have to have something Mickey shaped. A long time ago, the Mickey walls, they used to be like a big waffle and it was like Mickey's head. Now over here in the States, they're like smaller, like little Mickey head waffles. Are they that shape in Paris? Like, are they smaller or is it like one big Mickey head?
It's the big Mickey head ones.
Okay.
That they have, yeah. And you can kind of get them in a couple of different locations throughout the parks. And I do love them, I've got to say. And they're made like freshly right in front of you. So they come to you and they're like still really, really warm. And oh, the chocolate's melting. It's just great. Especially in Paris too. You know, when it's the weather there is so unpredictable. And sometimes you could be there in the absolute freezing cold. And there's just nothing better than getting a really, really warm Mickey waffle just for watching the fireworks or watching the parade. It just makes everything a lot more bearable.
Do you have any like sit down restaurants or places that you like to go to or recommend?
Yes, I do. My personal favorite is Downtown. It's a buffet that's in the new Hotel New York Art of Marvel.
Okay.
And I believe that the chef there actually created one of the menus in Animal Kingdom.
Oh, okay.
So we had really high hopes for him coming over to us to improve our food offerings, and he did not disappoint. So it's a buffet restaurant, and it serves Asian, American, and Italian food. And I've been a good few times now, and I've got to say, I think it is the best sit-down restaurant on property. That's high praise coming from me.
Yeah.
I've got to say, like, their little, like, they do these little like mini cheeseburger sliders, and they're perfection. And the desserts are really, really well themed as well, because you're in the Art of Marvel Hotel. Right. The little desserts, you've got like Captain America's panna cotta, so it's like a little glass filled with panna cotta with like a Captain America shield on the top of it. And they have a Thor's hammer dessert, which is just delightful. It's like a So it's like a big it's like a frozen chocolate mousse, but the coating on it is like gray, and there's like a chocolate stick.
Okay.
It's so good. It's really, really popular.
That sounds good.
So I would say that's probably my favorite sit down. But there's another one that I know people who have. It's a unique restaurant to Paris. It's Bistro Chez Remy. So okay, it's in the Ratatouille section of Walt Disney Studios. And the theming there is incredible. It's the idea is that you're shrunk down to the size of Remy the Rat.
Yeah.
And so everything inside the restaurant is really oversized. So you could be sitting on like wine bottle corks as your seat. Right. And they have cocktail umbrellas as like the little umbrellas over your table. There's giant plates everywhere, giant forks. It's so good. And the kind of the idea is that you would do the Ratatouille ride.
Yes.
That is the same as the one at Epcot. Mm-hmm. So you're already feeling kind of shrunk down. And then if you go into the restaurant, it just continues that little storyline for you. It's just brilliantly done. And the food is delicious too. It's traditional kind of French cuisine. So they do it like a set menu. So you get like, say, French onion soup as your main, and then you would get like something like steak with a served with ratatouille, like eclairs for dessert. It's just very French and perfect for that area.
You mentioned one of the hotels. Can you talk about what the hotels are at Disneyland Paris, what they offer, like how many?
Yeah, we've got six on-site hotels. I've only stayed in three of the six, but I've been inside all of them. I would go in all of them regularly to kind of check them out, use the bars, use the restaurants and things. So I'm familiar with them all. So at the kind of bottom end, the more budget-friendly hotels, you've got Santa Fe, which is cars-themed.
Nice.
Which is, the theming is really cool inside the rooms. They're really going heavy on the Lightning McQueen racer theme. And for little ones who are really into cars, it is just the dream.
Yeah.
And then just directly opposite that, we have Hotel Cheyenne, which is the one I'm staying in on my next Disney trip. It's Wild West. It's like a Wild West / Toy Story theme.
Yeah.
Which when I say Toy Story, I mean Woody and Jesse, cowboy kind of theme. it's fantastic. They have like the lights beside the beds are cowboy boots.
Oh, and that's
they have
cute.
You know, like cow print throws on the beds, and the curtains are kind of the pattern of Woody's shirt.
Yeah.
It's a really, really well themed hotel and really popular with families and everyone, really, like couples and all I know all go to it as well. It's a really, really popular choice across the board. And then the next sort of key level up, we have Sequoia Lodge, which is, I would liken it mostly to maybe your Animal Kingdom Lodge in Walt Disney
okay.
World.
Yeah.
But less grand. Uh-huh. it's a step down, but it's the closest I can think of. But it is a lovely hotel. It's loosely Bambi themed. So all
oh,
the rooms
nice.
Inside have pictures of scenes from the film. And it's so cozy. It's one of those hotels that, you know, when you go in at Christmas time and they have the fire going and a huge
yeah.
big Christmas tree and they've got hot chocolate and mulled wine and it's just lovely. It is one of my favorites, I would say, to stay in. And then over the lake from it, we have our new hotel, which is Hotel New York, the Art of Marvel. That is a very expensive property to stay in, but like rightly so. It's very, very modern. There's a lot of like, I would say, pop art style pictures mm-hmm. on the walls. They've got some costumes from the films.
Oh, okay.
Reception. And they've got obviously a Marvel themed gift shop, and they have two restaurants. They've got Downtown, which was the buffet I was telling you about, and Manhattan, which is quite like an upmarket kind of restaurant with a big chandelier and everything up in the, it's very, very grand. It's something that you would sort of see in a Marvel movie.
Yeah.
And they've got some good, really nice bars in there. If you're looking for a good cocktail, the Marvel Hotel is definitely the place for that. They also have I think it's called Superhero Station, where you can, guests inside the Marvel Hotel can meet Marvel characters. And there's also a room that is perfect for Instagrammers. They have all these photo opportunities in there where you can sort of step into a comic book, and they have a bedroom set. I'm not a big Marvel fan, so if anyone's listening to this and going, she has no idea, you would be
right.
there's like a bedroom you can go into, and basically the way it's set up is if you kind of crouch on the ground like Spider-Man, it looks like you're upside down in the picture.
Oh, cool.
It's really clever, really, really clever. And it's a nice perk, I think, for staying in that hotel.
Yeah.
I think if you're paying the prices to stay in that hotel, there needs to be something that's, you know, hotel guest exclusive to justify it.
Yeah.
And then they have the Newport Bay Club, which is across the lake from that again. And it's a nautical themed resort. It was actually one of the biggest hotels. It was the biggest hotel in France for a while. I'm not sure if it still is, but it was. And it's all kind of nautical sailor themed. It's it's nice. I like it. It's the least, to me, it feels like the least Disney
right. okay,
hotel
yeah.
of them all. It would be a lovely hotel anywhere else, but for me, it's not really, I prefer the gaudy over the top.
The themed, yeah.
Oh, I love a theme, and I just that one just doesn't really do it for me in that way. And then we have our Disneyland hotel, which is the creme de la creme, beautiful pink, bright pink hotel that you have to walk under to get into our park, so
okay.
you just can't miss it. It's actually been closed now since pre-pandemic because they're doing a total refit, and they're theming it to princesses.
Oh wow, that'll be popular.
Oh, it's gonna be like, try to get a reservation there, like
yeah.
good luck.
Yeah.
It was very expensive before it closed, and I feel like from what I've seen of the the concept art that I've seen
yes.
of the new rooms that they're doing, it's going to be expensive, but it's going to be worth it. They've got all the different rooms seem to be themed to different princesses. I've seen the Elsa one, and I've seen a Cinderella one, and they are just gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. And I really can't wait to see what that interior is going to look like whenever it reopens. At the minute, it's due to reopen in 2024.
Oh wow, okay, so coming up.
And I'm heading over there in March 2024, so I'm crossing everything that it will be open by the time I go, because I would just love to see it. And one thing I actually forgot to mention about the hotels in Disneyland Paris, which I think is unique to Paris, and that you can meet characters inside
yeah.
the hotels. Maybe you can in other places, but I've never seen it kind of.
It's not. It's more of like a So what I've understood is that when there's like bad weather or the parks are closed, or like if there's a hurricane, they will sometimes bring characters to the hotels to, you know, help the guests have a great time because they can't go to the parks for whatever reason. Or I've heard that sometimes when they're bringing characters, it's characters in training. Okay. And so they'll kind of take them to the hotel to sort of acclimate, you know, to the environment.
Yeah.
But so in Paris, you can meet them regularly.
Yeah, in the evenings in a couple of the hotels in Sequoia Lodge, Santa Fe, and Newport Bay, they have characters that come every evening between like 7 o'clock and 10 o'clock, and each hotel has their own set of themed outfits for the characters.
Oh, that's fun.
It's really lovely. Like, it's one of my favorite things about Disneyland Paris. Like, in the Newport Bay Hotel, you've got like all Mickey and Minnie and Goofy and all. They've all got sailor outfits.
Yeah, that's so cute.
Like, fabulous. And then over in Sequoia Lodge, you've got like Donald and Max wearing these mad ski outfits. And in Santa Fe, they've all got Route 66 clothes. It's just so well done. I just think that's something that Paris does so well, is have like just little touches like that. Because they could easily have just sent the characters in their classic clothes and it would have been fine, but they do go that extra mile.
Yeah, that is something that's really interesting. Now, do the parks, are the hours different in Disneyland Paris? Do the parks close like more like earlier? Like Disney World, they can be open till 11, sometimes midnight. So I'm curious about the hours there, and maybe that's why they give some like entertainment to the hotels in the evening.
For sure. At the moment this year, we've seen something a little bit different now. They seem to be opening a lot later.
Okay.
At the moment from now until, I think, on to like the end of September, they're saying that the park, at least the Disneyland park, is going to be open till 11 p.m., which is now kind of unheard of. Normally, they used to close at, you know, the closing time for the Disneyland park would vary depending on the time of year. But I think attendance has gone up so much since they reopened after the pandemic that they just had to keep opening it later and later and later. Now, they usually do shut the Walt Disney Studios park an hour before.
Okay.
It closes 1 hour beforehand because it's a slightly smaller park and they don't have a nighttime show that goes all year round. They do have, sometimes at the moment, they have one that's called Power of the Night. It's a Marvel themed one where they have drones and fireworks and projections against the Tower of Terror. It looks fantastic, but those kind of things only tend to last a couple of months.
Yeah.
Whereas in the Disneyland park, they have they've got illuminations at the moment changing to Disney Dreams in the middle of April, and it's kind of like your happily ever after style thing.
Yeah.
It's on every night, so more people would be kind of flocking over to that park for that. And we've got Extra Magic Time is a good pull for overseas guests. If you're going to stay on site, if you stay on site or you have a certain tier of annual pass, you can go into the parks from 8:30 every morning, so you get an hour from 8:30 to 9:30 before the regular day guests and off-site guests come in, and it's a brilliant way to get all the big rides done. I highly recommend doing that if you're torn between on-site and off-site. For me, that's the clincher for on-site, because it makes such a difference, because you know yourselves from Walt Disney World how quickly some queue lines build up for some of the bigger rides. So
yeah.
If you're a thrill seeker, especially if you want to do Crush's Coaster, Hyperspace Mountain, those sorts of ones, and even Web Slingers,
yeah,
like those sorts of ones, it's absolutely invaluable to get the Extra Magic Time. It's brilliant.
Have you ever been for, or can you mention like maybe your favorite like seasonal event? Like, I love to do Halloween and Disney World. Yeah. Do you have a favorite there?
Halloween. Disneyland Paris do a fantastic Halloween. They have special shows on featuring villains.
Yes.
They had one that's called, it's called Are You Brave Enough?
Oh.
And it's it features pretty much every Disney villain you could think of. It's kind of like singing and dancing. It's a bit strange for Disney villains. It's kind of
right.
Like the character integrity isn't always there, but like,
yes.
It's so enjoyable that you sort of forget about that. And they have a lot of villains during Halloween meeting and greeting in the parks that wouldn't be there during the year. And of course they have all the regular favorites, like, you know, Mickey and Minnie. Stitch is insanely popular in France. Stitch is, like, never mind Mickey, we've got Stitch.
Yeah.
he's hugely popular, and he's got a special sort of Halloween costume. And they have, we don't have like the Oogie Boogie Bash style Mickey's Not So Scary. They have two Halloween parties a year, usually one's on the 31st of October And okay. There's usually one the week before as well. But we only have two parties rather than it's not as right. big a deal. And they only kind of celebrate Halloween from the 1st of October to like the 31st of October. They don't make it a
we do it forever
deal yeah. like this in the States. Another one I would say that's really amazing is Disneyland Paris Pride.
Okay.
Like that is something that they do fabulously well. Just before the pandemic, Disneyland Paris had a Pride Festival, but it wasn't organized by Disneyland Paris themselves. It was an outside company that came in and mm-hmm. hosted a big Pride event in Walt Disney Studios. But post-pandemic, Disneyland Paris have said, no, we're going to host our own. Which I'm really proud of as like an LGBT Disney fan that yeah. they have taken ownership on that, because I know sometimes Disney and LGBT issues, it's a bit kind of questionable where they stand on it, but certainly in yes. Paris, they are so pro-diversity and pro-inclusion, and it really meant a lot, I think, to fans of Disney yeah. Paris that they took this ownership, and they did not scrimp on that festival. It was just, I've never seen anything like it at Disneyland Paris, like last year's one. It was...
What time of year is it? Is it in June?
It's in June. Okay. This year it's the 17th of June.
Okay.
And it just felt like a no expenses spared thing. Like they had a huge parade of, you know, every Disney character you could ever think of was yeah. part of this parade. They had cast members who had been taught a dance routine to be part of the parade, and they had musical artists. Do you guys have, everyone knows Mika, right? He was their headliner, and they also had okay. Becky Hill playing on the same night, and they had some fantastic French Europop style artists as okay. well. And they had like rare characters out for meet and greets. All the rides were running until 1 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock wow. in the morning. I left at 1 because I'm old, but yeah. but it was just a fantastic party, and it's a real plus point, I think, for Disneyland Paris, and it's just really nice to see them pledging, you know, their commitment to this
yeah.
fifth key that sometimes other parks, I feel, maybe don't pledge as strongly.
Yeah, that sort of brings me into a question I was going to ask is, like, what do you think sets Disneyland Paris apart from the other Disney parks, just in general, but also, like, the differences you notice, like, to appeal to, like, a European audience versus an American audience?
Well, that, to me, is one of the biggest ones, the whole Pride situation. Yeah. I also think Disneyland Paris have the most incredible entertainment department, from what mm-hmm. I've seen. Like, I love Disneyland and Disney California Adventure. Like, I could say good things about them all day, but I will say Disneyland Paris's shows and parades are second to none. They are absolutely yeah. incredible, and especially now there's a man named David Duffy who leads up that department, and he created the whole, I don't know if you've seen it, Dream and Shine Brighter.
I don't know if I've watched that one, but I will.
Oh, please watch it. It's wonderful. It's they created it for Disneyland Paris's 30th anniversary, and it started kind of January 2022, and it was meant to run till September 22, but they've now extended it to September 2023 because it's that popular.
Yeah.
It's just a huge, big celebration of all the huge Disney hits, like all the big songs, but it's this, I feel like it's the songs that are popular in Europe. They have, I don't know if you heard of this show, it's called Mickey and the Magician.
I've watched that, yeah. You've watched, it's very...
Like, it's good, like that.
It's cute, yeah.
It's good. It's one of the real, like, if I was telling somebody, like, one of the top three things to do at Disneyland Paris, like, that would be in my top three.
Yeah.
So for anyone who hasn't heard of it or seen it, the storyline is that Mickey is working as a cleaner for a magician.
Mm-hmm.
But all Mickey wants is to become a magician himself. So the magician says to him, if you can clean my whole apartment in 30 minutes or whatever the time was, I will make you a magician. But so he's going around cleaning the apartment, and every couple of minutes he gets distracted by
yeah.
a character from a popular Disney film turning up, and they do musical numbers, and it's just really wholesome. There's some fantastic representation for films like Beauty and the Beast there, because that's something that really I think Disneyland Paris could also do better on, is representation of French films, because for a park that's set in France, the representation of the French films is very, very poor. like Beauty and the Beast, Aristocats, Hunchback, yeah. You know, these films that are, you know, set in France, and the representation just isn't quite there yet. And I think that's something they really need to work on to make it stand out a bit more from other parks.
Being a Disney influencer, how do you sort of prioritize that? Like, I love going to the Disney parks, and I so admire the influencers who go and do the reporting and the pictures and the sharing and giving the tips, tricks. How do you like manage it all, but still make it special for yourself? So you feel like, okay, I get to go and experience it, but then you're also giving it and sharing it with everyone else, which is great. But sort of how do you prioritize the responsibilities of like creating content, like engaging with people, and still finding time to just like, you know, let yourself enjoy Disney too?
Well, when it comes to Disneyland Paris, because I'm based in Ireland, I would tend to go a couple of times a year, and I try to plan everything, do as much as I can before I get there, in terms of knowing exactly what content I want to get. I know exactly which reels I want to make. I know exactly what B-roll I need to get. Because it just makes everything so much quicker, because I've done it before where I've had nothing planned and you just get flustered and you film nonsense. The clips you have, you can't use them for anything. Like, it's, I think it's all in the preparation. And when I'm in the parks, I know there are some influencers who do a fantastic job of doing like live videos from inside the parks and vlogging on YouTube as they go. I have the most respect and admiration for these people, because I couldn't. It's just so like, I get very caught up in the moment. And so I tend to stick to things like doing little Instagram stories and filming little clips. I don't share too much while I'm actually in the park. I tend to just wait until I get home, because then I can edit things into the way I want them to be, and I've got a bit more time and I'm not taking up park time sitting on my phone trying to like edit videos and things like that. I do find I get a lot of DMs and stuff while I'm in the park asking questions, you know, and I'm one of those people who can't ignore a DM, you know, if I have them, I have to reply to it, because I don't want people to think I'm rude, you know. In terms of responding like DMs and things, I tend to do it in ride queues. I don't really be doing paying for the premier access and things like that. Like, I just suck it up and get in the line, because I don't know if you've seen the prices of paying for premier access in Paris. They're absolutely ludicrous, and I just won't give them the money. So I would do a lot of their like responding to people and things like that in lines. And like I said, I always have kind of ideas for reels and things like that in my head that I want to do. If I've got particular sounds for TikToks, I would do those. I always have outfits planned. I've got a really good hack actually for creators that I shared one time, and everyone just kind of went poof. It's, you know, if you're going to the parks during a season and you don't get to go very often, like myself, I always make sure that if I'm going for say 4 days, I will only wear one, maximum two Halloween outfits.
So you can use it later.
Because, you know, Halloween content, especially for, you know, Disneyland Paris, you've only got a 30-day window there. And if you're only going maybe like once every couple of months, you can't be reposting. Well, you could if you wanted to, but I can't be posting Halloween content all year round. So I always need to make sure that I have outfits that are not seasonal, so that I can get my Halloween content on the one or two days and then wearing the Halloween outfit, but make sure that then all my other outfits can be used and shared all year round. That's just a wee hack that I have, because I know that a lot of people kind of realize that when they get there, they're like, oh shoot, I'm wearing four Halloween outfits. And using extra magic time at Disneyland Paris is also a really good time if you're in the kind of Instagram, TikTok influencer space, and you don't mind sort of sitting out on the rides for during extra magic time. That's such a good time to go and get photographs done, because everyone else going in are going straight for the rides. They're not going for the beautiful little areas of Fantasyland. You know, like there's Cinderella's carriage is kind of, it's like tucked away in Fantasyland. It's an absolutely gorgeous little area of the park. And see, during the day, it's always full of people waiting to get into the princess dining and things like that. So it's really hard to get pictures, you know, there without having to edit loads of people out of it. So it's a really good time to go and get all your pictures in Fantasyland and in Frontierland, like pictures in front of Big Thunder Mountain with no other guests in them.
So you get asked tons of questions and you're giving tips and tricks and things. What are like maybe top three tips or tricks you love to give to people who are visiting Disneyland Paris for the first time?
Ooh, The one about the hotels, the character meet and greets in the hotels, is a really, really
That's
big
a good one.
Because you find a lot of people don't want to spend a long time in queues in the park waiting for characters, because the lines in the hotels, and you can go in and meet the characters in the hotels even if you're not staying there.
Yeah, that's cool.
So if you're looking to meet ones who would have a long line in the park, like Mickey and Donald and that, go around the hotels in the evening time, you'll get to see them much quicker. And usually you get a bit longer with the characters too, because the lines aren't as long. So that's a good hack if you're a character person. In terms of rides, my best hack is Crush's Coaster is such a popular ride. It is, again, I think it's partly because it is unique to Disneyland Paris, and also it's quite a low capacity ride, so the lines get very, very long very quickly. Yeah. I would say my best hack is to do it at the end of the park day. I would say get in the line about 30 minutes before Walt Disney Studios closes, and you'll still be in a line. There's just, I just don't think there is a way to do that ride without standing in a line, but you will be in a much shorter line if you do it then. And my other tip for watching parades and shows, because we've got a lot of outdoor shows at Disneyland Paris, like Dream and Shine Brighter, and we've got a whole bunch of them that kind of go around the different seasons. Stand beside a bin, or trash can, as y'all call it in America.
Yeah.
Because that way nobody can push in front of you.
That's a good tip.
And like no one else wants to stand beside a smelly bin. So,
right.
So your spot is safe. And if, right. Yeah. So just kind of get there about 30 minutes beforehand, get yourself a coffee, get yourself a nice hot Mickey waffle.
Yeah.
That's how you do it. Like, I even tried that hack at Disneyland and it worked. Like, no one else wanted to stand beside the bin. I was like, cool.
So where can everyone follow all your Disney tips?
Sure. So my biggest social platform at the moment is actually TikTok. You can find me there at Megan Loves Magic. I've got the same handle over on Instagram. And I recently started a YouTube channel. Keep your expectations low, everyone. It's very scarce. There's not a lot on there. I'm just experimenting at the moment with longer form content because I'm very reels and TikTok-y kind of gal. And so Megan Loves Magic 91 on YouTube if you just want to subscribe to that.
And you have a blog too?
I have. It's very much Disneyland Paris focused, whereas my other ones tend to have more, like I would share my Disneyland content and Universal and things like other places that I've been to, other travel. But my blog is meganlovesdisney.com. I've got a couple of, you know, what I pack in my park bag kind of posts. I've got some trip reviews. I've actually got a series on there of, I was basically in the parks the week that they closed down because of the pandemic. And that was a very strange experience and a very strange time to be at Disneyland Paris. There were just a lot of odd things happening. And I'm so glad that past me decided to write all that down.
Yeah.
And document it, because someone messaged me on Instagram the other day and was like, I just read your March 2020 blogs and what a roller coaster they are. And I was like, I'm so glad. I hadn't even thought about those blog posts in such a long time.
And do you have any trips coming up?
I'm in New York in May, and during that trip, I'm actually going over to Philly for a day to go to the Disney 100 exhibit in the Franklin Institute. I'm so excited for that. And then in September, I am going over to Disneyland Resort again and California Adventure for 5 days. Then in March 2024, which I just booked today, I'll be back at Disneyland Paris. So I'm on a little bit of a Disneyland Paris break at the moment, just because I have all these other travel plans in between. It's not no shade to Disneyland Paris.
Right.
I'm so looking forward to going back. It's going to be a nice wee countdown to have anyway. And my DMs are open anytime for yourself and for anybody listening as well. You know, if you've got any Disneyland Paris questions, please don't be shy. I respond to absolutely everybody. And every Sunday, I do a question and answer session on my Instagram stories. Not strictly Disneyland Paris. I'll answer any kind of question on there, but I do tend to get a lot of Disneyland Paris questions on there. So every Sunday, if you have any questions at all, stick them in the comments box. And I am more than happy to help anybody with their trips.
Thank you for coming on, Megan. I really loved having you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Be sure to follow Megan and get your questions answered before your next trip, or tag along on some of Megan's magical adventures right from your own home. Follow us on Instagram at Disney Inside Out Podcast and subscribe wherever you listen so you can catch up on all our episodes. Oh, I also love to read reviews, so write one. I love it. We'll see you real soon.